crucified, as it were. Jesus was on his way to be tried. And the story of Easter, we all have heard that. Now, some of us have watched the Passion Week. The Passion Week is a drama or drama series of the week that Jesus enters Jerusalem, and then he goes through the crucifixion in the Philippines. Probably some of you have heard in the Philippines. Every year, at least one person is crucified, literally crucified, in the Philippines as a celebration at Easter. One individual gives his life in a dramatic representation of the Easter period. It just shows how much passion this story of the crucifixion of Christ has become to people of different backgrounds. Well, the story in front of us this morning is taking our text from the book of Mark. Mark chapter 11, we'll read from verses 12 to 14. Mark chapter 11, we'll read from verses 12 to 14. Verse 12 says, "The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry, seeing in the distance a fig tree in a leaf. He went to find out if he had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, 'May no one ever eat fruit from you again.'" Now, let's skip some verses and go to verse 20. "In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him.'" The title of our discussion this morning is God of No Pretenses. The God of No Pretenses. This story has come to mean different things to different people, even Christians. Some Christians even go out to say, "This story has Jesus out of character. How can Jesus demonstrate this waste of supernatural power? Just wasting supernatural power on an unfortunate tree. Why couldn't Jesus just order the fig tree to produce fruits miraculously, so everybody can eat?" Jesus was not being the real Jesus or the kind of character we need, because why would he have to just curse the tree instead of performing a miracle so that people can have something to eat if he was that hungry? And some have even said, like in verse 13 of the passage, it was not the season for the figs to produce fruits. So why would Jesus expect a fig tree bear fruit when it was not the season. So people have raised some doubts or questions on the validity of this story and what the meaning really is. Well, some have even questioned why Jesus would want to pick a fruit from someone else's farm. Probably it was another person's farm. They were passing by the roadside, and Jesus just saw it and said, well, I'll probably get something to eat. Whatever happened to private property? Who owns this fig tree? It's supposed to be somebody's farm. Or if it wasn't, but somebody tended it. So was Jesus violating somebody else's private property by helping himself from other people's farms? Now, I have learned quite a few things studying this passage. And I've learned that in the past, people will walk along the road, traveling from village to village, city to city, town to town. And it was common, it was a normal thing for travelers to pick a fruit of a tree that wasn't enclosed. So you could see a mango tree or an orange tree or something by the side of the road that wasn't enclosed, and you could help yourself to it if you were hungry. So Jesus wasn't necessarily violating someone else's property by tradition. One thing I've also learned, that fig trees this time of the year were supposed to produce, even though the apostle said in verse 13, Lord, you know it's out of season. But from some of my studies, I learned that the reproductive cycle of this fig tree, it should have fruits all year round. And this time of the year was no exception. A full fig tree, full of grain and leaves, should have fruits in it. If it was not early, it should be later, but not completely barren. So it wasn't out of question or out of place for Jesus to expect that this tree would have some fruit in it. So what I've also learned from this passage is some fruit trees bloom, the flower, and they start producing fruits before becoming fully full of grain and fully leafed. So for Jesus to expect that this fig tree would have leaves was not out of line. So it was proper in that climate for Jesus to expect that this tree would have fruits. So Jesus was just not being petty. Jesus wasn't just being petty for picking on a poor tree. There were hundreds of other fig trees along the road, probably better looking, more greener, and much bigger. But why did Jesus pick on this poor tree? Well, what does that have to do with us? Number one, the tree from a distance looked productive since it was full of leaves and looked beautiful. This story was a symbolism on the people of Israel, because right after Christ's death and resurrection, the Romans came and took over Jerusalem. And Jesus used this miracle, the story or the parable of fig tree, to explain to the people what will happen to them as a nation, as a tribe. But they didn't quite get it. He had to use this illustration. looks from a distance, very beautiful, very nice, full of leaves and green. How many of us, by our outward appearances, have no benefits to the Lord or the hungry people around us? We are the star attractions in our churches. We are the star attractions in our communities. We attend all the church services. We give to the good causes. We are in every program, quote unquote, that benefits. But when Christ draws close to us, are we deeply rooted in Him? And are we deeply also rooted in His causes? What are these green leaves and big structures that we have in our lives? It could be your perfect family. Your green leaves could be your big car, your clean-cut persona. It could be your beautiful house, a nice job. Your big tree could be your grandkids, your status in the community, etc. But the big tree, the big fig tree, was of no immediate value to the needy. Certainly, not to Jesus Christ. Perhaps your giving in the church is seasonal and unexpected. Sometimes our giving in the church, or giving, as it were, is when it is expected of us to, or when the season of giving, then we give more than we should. See, the disciple said, Jesus, this is not even the season for this tree to produce. So why expect anything from it? So for some of us, our lives are such that we give only when we're asked to, or only when it's a season to give. Perhaps your life is such that many people expect only good from you, no matter how clean cut of a life you have. Perhaps, let me repeat that, perhaps your life is such that not many people expect any good from you, no matter how clean cut you are. You could live in a beautiful community, neighborhood, and the nicest house in the block, but the people in your community, your immediate surrounding, your immediate community, don't feel an impact, not a bit. People who come from afar don't even recognize that you're important there, because you have no impact on your immediate community. The beautiful big fig tree was of no immediate value to the needy. The second thing is, Jesus used the fig tree miracle to symbolize the Jews, like I said earlier. As a nation, they used to say that the sun never sets in the British Empire. The British Empire expanded from India to the west coast of Africa, all under the British Empire. The sun never set. It was a big empire. Where is the British Empire of today? Perhaps, even in the U.S. or America, as a nation, all powerful, all rich, you name it. So Israel at that time was a political entity, had become worthless. They had assumed prominence, they had assumed status, and they said they were the chosen people of God, so they wanted to do whatever they wanted. Nobody could question. Nobody could ask. Nobody could judge. And so Jesus was leaving them coded messages. You guys, as a nation, beware. You are the star attraction, but you have no value to God. Jesus draws close to us and finds nothing of instant value. Our lives are all public show without little substance on the inside. And it is my prayer that this parable of the fig tree should not be a constant source of anguish to be applied on our lives. There were probably 100 other fig trees along the road. Why didn't Jesus pick on any of those fig trees? Or why didn't Jesus just pour out a general plague, a disease, against all the other fig trees along the road? There was a reason why he picked this one tree to illustrate or demonstrate to the disciples. And then in verse 20, the following day, he said, the following day, in the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Then Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. So the judgment of God can be instant. The judgment of God is total. The tree withered from the root, from its foundations. Nothing left. So as an individual, or as a nation, when we think we have it all correct, when we think we're all clean cut, when we think all is going well for us, when life is good, and Jesus draws near to us, people draw near to us, the sick draw near to us, the hungry draw near to us, those seeking refuge draw near to us. Jesus sends such people near to us. Will they find something to eat? Or we're just there, blush and grin? And I'm sure that the fig tree serves other purposes. It was a place people could sit under and rest from the scorching sun. It could be where some birds will perch or even nest. The fig tree had its purposes. But for the purpose that Jesus wanted that tree to yield, it wasn't productive. So you could be in the community. You could be in the church, and you do all the social services. You could be in the Rotary Club. You've been in the Lions Club, YMCA, a youth club, boys and girls club, whatever club you belong to. You can do your social services, whatever they are. Those can be the green tree, big fig tree in your life. But if it has no immediate impact on the call of the Lord in your life, then you're just taking up space like this big fig tree. And the Lord is asking you today, the Lord is asking us today, to take a stock of how our lives are, how they have meant to people that have passed this road. People have gone through this road every day. They've seen this tree every day. Of what benefit has your life been to people who have seen this tree? As a nation, I want to challenge us also as a nation. People think we're the biggest. People know we're the best. Oh, we say we're the best. We know we're the richest. We know we're the biggest. Fair and square. But as people pass and they look at us, God looks at us and says, can I get some fruit here. Or we'll wait and say, no, it's not the season yet. Or wait until it's tax clearance time, and then we'll give and get a tax receipt. Or we'll wait until we have a garage sale, then we'll clean up our garage and give out to Goodwill or to people who are poor. God wants the choicest things in our lives. God wants those things that are inside, the fruits, the things that we bear, not the things that we have, the things that make us who we are, things that define who we are. See, those leaves didn't define a fig tree. It was the fruit that should define what a fig tree is. But the fig tree just stood there, took up space, took up all the nutrients, but wasn't giving out what it was intended to. And that can be applied to us as individuals, and that could also apply to us as a nation. And I pray that as we enter this Lenten week, as we enter this Passion Week, the story of Easter becomes alive again. And it's a story that we've heard it over and over and over and over several times again. It's just a reminder. We just keep reminding ourselves of what this story is all about. Prayer continually for you guys at Fair Haven is that the Lord will keep you. The Lord will bless all of you. The Lord will sustain you. The Lord will let His light shine upon you. His countenance will shine upon you. That your presence in the community, on Winter Street, will continue to radiate year in and year out. Your testimony, as has always been, will be vibrant, no matter how large or small you are. Because the size of that tree didn't matter. What mattered was whether there was fruit in it or not. What agonized the Lord, what made Jesus Christ angrier, or what made Him curse the tree was because it wasn't productive. So I pray for us this morning, as we go, as we interact, as we talk to our people, as we live our lives, as we go to our places of work, our families, friends, wherever, what impact does our life have on others? What benefit do they derive when they come close to us? Do we just take up space, or we meet needs? Do we just begin to entertain, or we address issues that are significant? Jesus cursed the tree, and the Bible says the following day, the tree withered from its roots and died. That is not going to be your portion. That is not going to be our portion. As much as Jesus Christ cursed the tree, most of the miracles that Jesus Christ performed in the New Testament were miracles of mercy. He healed the sick. He raised people from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He made the blind see again. He healed a lot of... He fed the 5,000. So Jesus used this miracle of the fig tree as one of the few ones that something bad happened to something. But most of Jesus' miracles were miracles of mercy. And I pray that some of those miracles of mercy would come and dwell with us. Jesus would visit us. Jesus would come into our homes. Like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus went on top of a tree when he heard Jesus was coming, a tax collector. And Jesus told him, he said, Zacchaeus, I know who you are. Come down. I'm going to have dinner in your house tonight. And Zacchaeus was like, whoa. You're going to have dinner in my house tonight. He was trembling. He was a tax collector. He was not a good guy. He was the IRS. People didn't like him. But Zacchaeus came down from the tree, and he was a changed person. Perhaps you have a position in government or in society that seems mean. You're the mean guy. You're the you're the one that everybody trembles when you enter the door. Perhaps Jesus is saying to you today, I want to come into your house for dinner. I'm forcing you to your house for dinner. Let's go to your house. I'm going to have dinner with you today. Jesus is going to break those barriers between you and the people that you serve. We exist to serve the Lord. We don't exist on our own ends. The salvation that we have been granted, that we have received so freely from the Lord, is so that we can serve other people, so that we can serve the Lord. It's not for us to accumulate for ourselves, accumulate for our families, accumulate for our friends, to the detriment of the most vulnerable amongst us. And I think that is the message that the fig tree miracle depicts. Jesus had no need, like I said earlier, to curse a poor tree. You know, some people who are environmentalists, you know, they say, Jesus wasn't, why would he just descend on an innocent tree? You know, why didn't he just ask the tree to produce miraculous fruits? But they failed to understand the spiritual aspect of this miracle. So as I reply to the people of Israel, the right recipients of this message, it also applied to the people that listened to it. The Jews, the disciples, and subsequently us, the believers, the covenant, the people who are the covenant people of Christ that have accepted and believed the gospel. This is part of our own story also. Jesus is passing along on his way to Calvary, and he's looking at our lives, he's drawing close to us, and all he sees are all these images, buildings, big cars, nice jobs. We boast of our families, we boast of our jobs, we boast of whatever we boast about. But then when Jesus draws so close to us, he sends someone vulnerable on our way. He sends a situation that we can address our way. But there is no succor. There is no comfort. There is no support. There is little. And even if we do that seasonally. We do that only when convenient. How unfortunate. And like I said earlier, when I read this passage, I don't want to imagine that Christ is passing by and my life is this big fig tree. Season in, season out, I should be productive. If I'm even out of season, I should be seen to be having begun the fruit process. I should start producing fruit already. If not ripe, but in the process of being ripe. So that you say, we're on it. We're working on being productive. Not to be barren. Because the Bible says the tree was barren. The tree didn't have any fruit. That means it has never given any fruit to anybody. Jesus said to this tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. May no one ever eat fruit from you again. And the disciples heard him. I don't know how many of us has God said in his heart, may no one ever eat any fruit from you again. I pray that prayer never becomes part of anybody's life. May no one ever eat fruit from you again. Lord, as we leave this building, as we leave this church building this morning, as we go into our homes, as we go into the community, as we go into our places of work, Lord, we ask that our lives should not be just this big, huge tree by the side of the road that is so attractive, it's so green, it's so big, so beautiful. Lord, may our lives be more than just that. Our lives should be more than just a persona, just a public appearance, just a show, just a sideshow. May our lives mean more than that. May those that draw close to us find succor. May those that are hungry, who come near us, find refuge. May those that are desperate for whatever reasons, drawing near to us, find a reason to stay with us. That is my prayer for some of us today, and for all of us today. And that the curse that this tree was used to illustrate, this curse will not be part of or portion of any of our lives. We will reject it. Lord, we reject it. And we pray that as Christians and those who have trusted you, given our lives to you, we pray, Lord, that you continue to uplift us, you continue to sustain us, you continue to keep us green, you continue to keep us fruitful, so that all those who pass by us, those who see us day and day out, Lord, we have something to take home with them. We have the benefit of why you've placed us where you've placed us. This is my prayer for people of Fairhaven today. I pray this prayer for myself. I pray this prayer for America. I pray this prayer for Nigeria. It's a different world, but the Lord has bounded us together. For some reason, it has been a very traumatic few months for the church in Nigeria. Some of you have heard about the killings in December and all of that. We are hanging in tough. We're hanging in okay. The Lord is in control. Not a whole lot has changed, but things have eased up quite a bit. So I want to appreciate all the prayers. I want to appreciate all the support. Hang in there with us in prayer. There's nothing more than that. And we thank you again so much. And I really want to apologize. Finally, again, technology can deliver. Technology can fail us. We live a little bit far off from town. So sometimes the internet connection drops and fluctuates for no reason, depending on the time and hour. You never can tell. Some days it's crystal clear. Other times, you know, you just get what you get. Like today, there was even no feed at all. So we apologize for that, and we hope that next time it won't happen again. But I hope that this passage can resonate, the meaning what it has can start to sink into our hearts. This Passion Week, this week that leads us into the Easter period, we will sit back and look at that journey as a country, as America, the almighty America. We project ourselves, not just the people that pass to us, that come by, but the people that are called, you know, it's a Christian nation, quote unquote. That's what everybody here believes. America is a Christian nation. So every Christian in this country, except some of us in the north, are considered agents of the U.S. So Muslims who come into our house and talk about America, you know, they think we represent the U.S. government, we represent American people. Say, well, maybe not. So, but you guys are our strength. You guys are the ones we look up to. You guys are the ones that make us look good. You guys are the ones that give us the edge, give us the strength to be a witness, to be the green. You cannot be here yourselves. Maybe you can one day, but we are the ones that represent. We are the ones that represent you. We are the ones standing the gap here on your behalf. And we hope and we pray that as you do the little things you do in Fort Wayne, South Fort Wayne, Winter Street, your place of work, your families, whatever you do, do not allow this big fig tree to come in the way of people benefiting from the fruit it's supposed to yield season all year round. Thank you so much again, and I ask the Lord now to go with you. May the grace of our Father, the love of God, Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with us now and forevermore. Amen and amen. Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.